broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What's going to happen as a result of this?
Mr. Brown, in position of sense, is suspended.
To me, the two-party system has failed our nation miserably.
No, not at all. The government regularly overstates these sorts of illness warnings.
Cat urine!
I've been vegetarian for 7 years, going on 8.
Hey, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in the bloody hell it is talking about, and every night here on the show, we try to give you, you know, not necessarily what we think should happen, although, you know, I have a few ideas of my own. I got a few ways that I would run this country if they threw it into my hands, if they threw it into my lap. Yeah, I got a couple of things. I got a couple of ideas. However, that's not going to happen anytime within the next 1,000 years. So instead, we want you to at least make up your mind based upon the information that is available that is somewhat rooted in the truth. And nothing but the truth. We're going to get back to our discussion of the CIA. We also have Bobby Dooley hanging on the line with us, and she's been very patient as we talk about the CIA interrogation. She is on talking about Glance Up, which is a new program that she's encouraging for young people. Young people that text and who are texting as well as driving. And you are saying that the Glance Up program is a safe program?
Phil, I think it's about as safe as we're going to be able to make our young people when it comes to texting, because young people are going to text. We had a wonderful man named Ernest, who is a man that worked as a domestic servant for us for a number of years. And he used to say one thing, Ms. Dooley, that is always going to happen. People are going to be, and I'm quoting him, Steve, you remember what it was?
Yeah, people will be drinking some booze.
No, he used to say people are going to be drinking them some booze. And he said that to me because he wanted to invest in a liquor store. And, well, I take that thinking, and that's kind of that, you know, thinking that you can take and apply to something that is in our world, and say, one thing is for sure, teenagers are going to be, you know, doing them some texting. And what are we going to do? Are we going to outlaw it? No. Glance Up keeps them glancing up from the text to see if there's an oncoming truck.
And what if they glance up just in time to see the grill of that truck feet away from the front of their car?
Well, we don't think they're applying Glance Up then. They glanced up, but they didn't glance up enough. If they had glanced up before that moment that they glanced up, they would have seen the truck much further away.
And all of this based upon the need for young people to text.
Young people are going to be texting them, some people, as Ernest would say. I'm replacing what he said about booze. But it is going to happen.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Amber in Mobile, Alabama. Amber, you're on with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. And what's on your mind tonight?
How are you doing? I was actually calling in regarding the segment that we're talking about now. And I think that the Glance Up program, or the initiative that she's trying to initiate, is a horrible one, where most children can't walk and chew gum at the same time, much less drive and text at the same time. And I'm just wondering on what facts that you're basing that this is actually going to save lives versus enforcing the law that you should be texting and driving.
Well, Amber, thank you for your call. I would say the following. I think it's selling our kids a little short to say they can't walk and chew gum. I think that's selling them a little short. We know that we rely on our young people to drive. Sometimes we need them to drive for our family errands. I have 3 sons who are teenagers. Do they stop being teenagers just because we need them to go out and get a box of tampons or whatever it is, that groceries or something like that? Do they stop being teenagers?
No, I wouldn't say they would stop being teenagers, but I want to take it one step further with you and to even address the, what did you call it, mongoloid texting?
The young people call it mongo speak.
Okay, that's what it was. I don't even understand that we would even justify that, because texting, the text grammar anyway, all of it is improper. So I don't think
that's a good point.
I don't think that any of it is it's all shorthand, and so therefore to even bring that into the process, I think it's a waste of time as well as
Well, can I read?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to read to you, Amber, one of the texts that the kids call. And I do not approve of this. The kids call it Mongo speak.
Right.
This is when the kids are texting something and they don't understand each other?
Exactly. Here is one that my son said to me when he knew I was going to come on the program today. He said, Mom, would you read this? And this is from his girlfriend. And it said, IR, stomach big. And then it says, B-U-B-E, booby. Now, he thought that meant she was pregnant, meaning her stomach was big. Well, what it meant basically was, I'm hungry, do you want to have some lunch? But he was in a panic because of this particular piece of Mongo. Well, you can laugh if you want to. I don't know if you have a son or not. But
I do.
Yeah,
I have
very
to,
disrespectful.
Actually.
It's very disrespectful.
No, and I'm not laughing at him, but I'm laughing at
no.
the situation. At all. You understand that first of all, it leaves nonverbal cues in, and when you're texting and there's no voice inflection, there is always room for misunderstanding, just as an IMing on a computer.
Can I jump in, ladies, for a minute? Ladies, could I jump? This is Phil. I want to jump in and ask both of you. I know that young people and their relationships are very important to them. Kids are very self-conscious. They want to make sure that they're putting their best foot forward every time they go out there into the world. And Bobby, is it worth risking a kid's life so that he is seen as cool or he can text well by his friends?
Well, Phil, I don't know the last time you were a teenager. It hasn't been that long for me, and I suspect for Amber. She sounds like she might be your age. I don't know.
Well, I'm 56. We can get that out of the way. It's been a long time.
And I'm 35.
Young people... Oh, you're 35. Oh.
I am.
You're telling the truth.
I think we can take her at her word, yeah.
I am, yes. 12/5/1973.
Oh, all right. Well, if you say so. I think what we are dealing with are young people that we have to live with. The chances are our kids are going to come home and walk in the front door instead of being lowered into a hole in the ground. The chances are...
Boy, that's a hell of a way to put that.
Phil, I'm saying the chances are... Well, the lady can laugh if she wants to, but our children are going to come home, and more often than not, they're going to be complaining about some girl that disrespected them, some boy that thinks they're a Mongo, or this kind of thing.
And what if you get the knock on the door or a call from the highway patrol that says your son is dead in an automobile accident?
Why would you bring that up?
Because you've got these kids this glance-up program. I asked you the question, if they glance up and there's the grill of a Peterbilt 2 feet away from the front of their car...
And I answered that they didn't glance up enough. Glance up is the way for children to... People are messaging or texting me right now. Look, I'll give you an example. Here's a text from a girlfriend of mine. It's all about Gloyds. I don't understand anything. Do you know why? She's not glancing up. And so, Amber, I would suggest that you tell your children... Do you have children?
I do. I have two.
All right. And are they both living at home?
They both are. One's 12. That's just got his first cell phone because he finally...
So you have sole custody.
What does that mean, sole custody?
I don't know if she's divorced or...
Of course. No, I'm not divorced. I'm married happily. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Is that their father?
Okay, Bobby, these questions, I don't...
What? I want to know... All right, so would you... So you think glance up is, as the kids call it, Gloyd?
I know what I think glance up is ridiculous. And I think it is a ridiculous...
So it's Gloyd.
...to even empower the children to to encourage a behavior that is going to ultimately get them killed. So who says when's often enough?
Why would I encourage anything? No, Amber. I would never encourage anything that would kill my sons or your sons. Never.
Right. So, I think she said she has
the opinion that there is no texting while you're driving, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to text through like I did in order to have this conversation, albeit on Bluetooth, I pulled over to the side of the road. Okay, so...
Even though you have a Bluetooth in your... All right, and why did you pull over? Why? because you don't even trust.
To concentrate on this conversation and not be distracted by possibly killing myself at 2 o'clock in the morning on the interstate.
But we're talking about being distracted by texting, and you feel that you're going Lloyd even by talking, and we find that to be, it's not your fault.
Oh, it's that's my
going. Going.
No, it is not your fault. No, but you are so frightened of being perceived as MG.
No, I'm not frightened of that at all. I have this thing called self-preservation, and I don't want to.
All right. Well, listen, Amber. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. We got to get breaking here, and thank you.
Well, I wanted to say some more to her about how. Let's go, MG.
What is MG? And if it has anything to do with Mongo or Gloid.
Well, that's what it is, Mongo Gloid.
Mongo Gloid.
You never heard of that. That's a disease.
Excuse me. Number one, I don't want to use those terms anymore. Number two.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
I don't want to use those terms anymore. Number two, what do you mean the woman didn't want to talk on the phone for fear that she didn't.
She was talking on the phone, hello. Oh, God.
Talking on the phone. Do you hear about it, Mr. Henry?
All right. You said, though, that she didn't want to drive and talk on the phone for fear of being Gloid.
That's what the kids call it.
Even talking on a phone, not texting.
Yes, because some people are so frightened that even if they're driving and they're talking, what suffers? Not the driving, no. More often than not, Bill, statistics prove that the talking suffers. So you come out like this. You know, you're talking. I'll give you an example. I was talking to you, remember, Steve, and I was talking on the phone, and I wanted to say to Steve, honey, would you get out the rump roast and the beans for dinner? When I get home, I'm going to make the rump roast. And it came out like this. See, I was stuttering.
Yeah, that's what she did.
I was going, and it just...
That all gloided out.
It's not, yeah, it sounded gloid.
All right, thank you very much for glance up. 877... She's kidding, right?
Well, you don't want to go Mongo too early.
Oh, will you stop already with that, man? If I catch you guys texting, you're never driving my car again.
Are you kidding me? I love that car.
Yeah, and I love that car, too. It ain't that you're going to get killed, man. It's that they got to sponge you out of the middle of that thing when I have to take it off to the body shop and get it fixed. 877-876-PHIL.
That's a good point.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Can I give out our website, Phil? It's... Hello? Oh, he hung up.
What an ass.
What an ass.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
You know, I plumb forgot to tell you guys about our website, philhenryshow.com. Go on over there and you can see our video cast every night. And one other thing that I want to tell you about, but I haven't plumb forgot to tell you about it. I have been biding my time because I wanted to kick off with the best possible information on this MetaFastPhil.com announcement. MetaFastPhil.com special announcement. Phil Henry got his fat ass into a pair of jeans that he hasn't been able to get into in 3 years yesterday. All right.
Way to go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. That's exactly correct. This was a pair of jeans that was from some pretty skinny times, Jack. I hadn't been able to get into these jeans. You should have seen me. It was like, have you ever tried to get into a pair of jeans by buttoning them around your knees and then try to pull them up?
Are you kidding me, man? I never do anything like that. I'd be ashamed to do something like that.
You're putting me on, right?
No. No, I just wanted to see if I could get into these jeans, I don't know, probably about 2 months ago, and I buttoned them around my knees.
That is pathetic.
Yeah, it's pathetic, all right.
You wear them out like that?
No, I didn't wear them out like that. Well, just yesterday, I got into these jeans and buttoned them like a normal human being. You want to know why? Because of MetaFast, Jack. That's why. MetaFastPhil.com. I've been all kinds of diets in my life, man. You know, let's tell the truth here. I might have been a skinny runt when I was younger, but, you know, the older I got, the more I like to eat and lay around on my ass. And next thing you know, your weight gets out of control. So I was looking around for a weight loss program that is going to provide me with low-fat, high-protein, and fiber foods, fortified foods with vitamins and nutrients, and a diet that I could lose pounds and inches on without losing out on nutrition, right? Because you don't want to get sick. You don't want to go to some diet where you're losing weight, but you're also getting weaker and you're getting ill and you're just not a healthy person, not a happy person. You don't feel good. No, forget that, man. That's why MetaFastPhil.com is what I want you to visit to learn more about the MetaFast diet, a weight loss product developed by a doctor, okay? A doctor and recommended by more than 15,000 doctors since 1980. You're losing weight quickly, up to 20 pounds a month, while you learn how to eat healthier. I lost probably in the neighborhood of 10, 11, 12 pounds a month. And you know, I talked to the MetaFast nutritionist, and I can get a lot more weight off, and that's what I plan on doing. And there's all kinds of MetaFast meals that they offer, 70 different meal options from the Maryland crab cakes, the cream of broccoli, the hearty chili, the delicious shakes, and the very satisfying bars. Plus, you eat your one lean and green meal a day. And, brother, you're off to the races, man. They even have a program for men and women who have type 2 diabetes. That's right. Ask them. Ask MetaFast. Find out now. Go to MetaFastPhil.com. That's MetaFastPhil.com. MetaFastPhil.com. So.
In the jeans the other day?
The other day, yeah.
But button them around your knees.
I don't button them around my knees, bud. I just decided, how could I get into these jeans? It was three or four months ago. I asked myself, how could I get into these jeans? And I found out that the only way I could get into the jeans is if I buttoned them around my knees.
No, you can't go out like that with your ass hanging in the breeze.
I didn't say I was going to go out with my ass hanging in the breeze. You know, see, you guys don't listen to a thing. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call now. We have Jen in Portland. Jen, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, what's on my Hello? Mind? I have to stop
yeah.
for a second here. I just got off the phone with Ford Motor Corp, right? And
yeah.
I've been listening to this Cash for Clunkers and all this crap, and I remember that Ford, remember a few months back, they were saying they were going to go bankrupt and all that nonsense, yada, yada, yada. And then now there's a Cash for Clunkers, so I have a loan with them.
No. Ford was doing well. Ford actually never asked for any government.
No.
You're talking about Chrysler.
Before that, they were looking at filing possible bankruptcy long before the TARP thing. But they pulled their act
yeah.
together, and they never took
right.
the money and all that. And okay. So
okay.
I'm thinking to myself, well, hey, I want to go out and look, maybe buy a new car. And I don't have any clunkers, but I do have some cars that are older, about maybe 2007 or so, and I wanted to get a new one. And I'm thinking, what might they offer me? So I get on the phone tonight, and I call. And Oregon, as you well know or maybe don't, they're number two for unemployment in the United States. Now, I'm not employed, but a lot of people are here in this state. So I call to find out about this information with Ford, and don't you know where I end that up? Jamaica. Call center in Jamaica. What the heck is up with that?
Were you calling, and you were calling the line given to you for the Cash for Clunkers program? Was it a line that would deal with that program?
Just calling their main number because I wanted to see, because usually they're open until about 9 o'clock, and I wanted
yeah.
to find out. I was so ticked off. I said, what is this?
Well, that's now you found out how they were able to save money and avoid bankruptcy. They're outsourcing their after-hours phone bank to Jamaica. I don't know. What time does Ford close? 9 o'clock at night, you're saying? For the public?
Yeah,
for public information?
They have like an 800 number. But you know what I always got to think about? I was on the line waiting for you, and I thought to myself, you know, I know a program that Obama can sit and start promoting, and that's let's do a year of jubilee. Every 7 years, you know, just wipe out the debt. That certainly put the collectors out of business, and all these people are getting all those bad calls. That'd be the end of that.
Well, I don't know. I if you want to find Cash for Clunkers, I'm sure there's websites galore, thegovernment.gov, Jace, whitehouse.gov, Cash for Clunkers, the main line that deals with that. Yeah, get the real scoop, man? You don't want to talk to Jamaica. You're calling Ford after hours. It's called Cash for Clunkers. Oh, it's over anyway, so you can't trade your car in. The program's over. They ran out of money. So many people took advantage of it. Yeah.
I wasn't going to trade my car in. I'm looking to get a new car. I don't qualify. Our cars are too new. I wanted to get into a new car. But is that crazy? Calling in and you end up in Jamaica call center. Why not here
that's because it's too bloody expensive. That's why, because it's cheaper to have Jamaica answer the calls after hours. And that's where that's at. Anyway, Jen, best of luck to you. And I, you said you were employed, right? Good, 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 good. Sorry to hear about the good folks in Oregon. Things are going to get better, man. That's not because I necessarily am, cheerleading for Obama. It's just that things are going to get better because I decided that they're going to get better because they always do. Because this is America, man. Because, never mind. Coming up, a couple is charged in the death of a girl as a result over their pet python. That baby, remember? We're going to update you on that story coming up in the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Don't forget, every night on our website, philhendryshow.com, you can watch the show as well as listen to the show. We have live streaming video every night at philhendryshow.com. That means you can, well, you can log on around, say, 9 o'clock in the evening, which 9 o'clock Pacific, which is an hour before our airtime, 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast, and you can watch our uncensored podcast, uncensored video cast as we sort of review what the day's been like and talk to you about the news that I might do on the show and a little bit of a behind the scenes. And sometimes we even do a Q&A with people on Facebook. And then you can watch the show itself on video. You can also listen to our live streaming audio, or you can listen to the show on any one of many great affiliates across the country. And we are coming soon to the good people of Salt Lake City. So we're adding Salt Lake City back in Salt Lake City after a long absence very soon. And we're happy about that. So check out philhendryshow.com while you're there. Take a look at the archives, too. We've got years and years and years of archive material there for you to listen to and download at philhendryshow.com. Here's a story that we covered incredulously when it first happened, and we were stunned, more stunned. You know, look, there's stupid people, and then there's stupid people, and then there's just, like, murderously stupid. And then at some point, stupid becomes a criminal offense. You know, I can understand if you're born dumb. And I suppose if someone's born dumb, you just find something for them to do, and you try to keep them out of trouble, and you just, that's... But when somebody is born so stupid that they not only kill people, they kill babies... Then you got to just hold them up as an example for all to see the kind of imbecile that does not belong in the world as we know it. And who knows, maybe this person, if he survives this event and the woman that he was associated with, maybe somehow along the way they'll become better people before they open the trap door on their asses, which personally I would be in favor of, but I know it won't happen because, you know, capital punishment's really bad and everything like that. Anyway, a 32-year-old man and the mother of a Florida girl suffocated by a pet python last month have been charged finally in the toddler's death. Jaron Ashley Hare, age 19, and her stupid-ass boyfriend, Charles Jason Darnell, were each charged with manslaughter, third-degree murder, and child abuse. According to officials from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office, 2-year-old Cheyenne died on July the 1st. Darnell, the 8-foot python's owner, told authorities he discovered the snake missing from its terrarium and went to the girl's room where he found it on the girl and bite marks on her head. Darnell said he stabbed the snake until he was able to pry the child away and then called 911. You're going to listen now, and if you are upset by these kinds of graphic 911 calls, please do not listen to this. This is Charles Jason Darnell calling 911 to report the death of his girlfriend's 2-year-old daughter back on July the 1st.
911, do you need police, fire, or an ambulance?
It's an emergency.
Okay, what do you need? You need a police, fire, or an ambulance?
I don't know. The baby's dead. A stupid snake got out in the middle of the night and strangled the baby.
Okay, stay on the line with me. I'm going to get you over to an EMS dispatcher. You need to answer all the questions, okay?
He called the snake stupid. That's, you know... Anyway, Darnell speaks to the EMS dispatcher.
What is the address of your emergency? Okay, and are you in a subdivision or a mobile home park?
No, I'm at the house. We're right on the road.
Okay. And what's your name, please? Okay, and what's the problem? Tell me exactly what happened.
Our snake, we have a Burmese python, and she's about 12 foot long. She got out of the cage last night and got into the baby's crib and strangled her to death.
Stay on the line, please. Tim. Okay, I do have help on the way there for you, sir. I need to ask you a few more questions, okay?
Now, here's a guy that's got a python for a pet. And he's stunned. He's shocked. He's overwhelmed with grief and panic and fear and every other emotion negative that you can think of, that it got out and it killed the baby. Now, I'm speaking for myself right now. A python, a three-year-old baby, Phil Hendry. Let's just put me, python baby, Phil Hendry. No python. Well, why? How come I cannot have no python? You're not going to have a python. It's a python, man. Yeah, it's trained. Oh, good for it. It's trained. Stick it in a garage. Stick it in a closet. Stick that thing in the Everglades. Get it out of here. There's a kid here. Easy for you to say, you don't understand snake. Oh, the hell, I understand. I got a snake, I understand, but that's beside the point. The fact is, oh, making jokes, huh? I'm not making jokes. Get it out of here. I don't care what anybody says to me. You got to be in that situation. You need to understand. What do I need to understand? This is a guy that he was born dumb. He didn't get any smarter as he got older. And the dumbass girlfriend bringing this guy into the house with a snake. Holy God. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot in my life. Man, I've seen a lot. I've smelled it and I've tasted it and I've heard it all over the world. But I'm constantly stunned and amazed at the level. And maybe it's because we do have such communication these days where we find, evidence and examples of this idiocy everywhere, you know, where it used to be every now and again you'd hear about it, but because we got the internet and we got the radio and we got mass communication like never before, every 5 minutes there's some jackass. And did you hear that guy bawling? That's the thing that disgusts me. That a grown man is so completely clueless about how life works. He's sitting there sniveling into a phone. He had a python in a house with a three-year-old. Now, where's the girlfriend? Well, I'll tell you where both of them are right now. They've been charged with, and let me repeat the charges because this is some serious stuff. Manslaughter, third-degree murder, and child abuse. Third-degree murder. Now, what does that mean? It means, Charlie, you should have known better, man. You knew full well that snake was a lethal threat to that child. Not to mention yourselves. You knew full well. You knew full well what that animal was capable of. You knew full well that animal could kill if it so sought to. And there was an infant in the house. This is not something that is a newsflash. It can't possibly be. Unless they determine, is there such a thing as like criminally stupid? In other words, you're not criminally insane and you're not retarded. You're just a jackass. Criminal jackassity. Anyway, the medical examiner determined that the little baby died from asphyxiation. Hare and Darnell were each being held on a $35,000 bond. Court documents that would list attorneys for them have not yet been processed. The Humane Society of the United States said, including Cheyenne's death, at least 12 people have been killed in the United States by pet python since 1980, including 5 children. So now we know. It doesn't happen all that much, but in the last 29 years, 5 imbeciles have inflicted their imbecility on 5 children to the extent that the children died with their pet pythons. Take your snake, go outside and play with your snake and pretend like you're, I don't know what, Jesse the Body. Go out there and pretend like you're in the jungle and you're a great white hunter. When the snakes become too large, some owners release them into the Everglades and other wild areas, according to Florida officials. One killed an alligator and then burst when it tried to eat it. That's the kind of cold-blooded reptile we're dealing with here.
Man, that's cold-blooded.
Well, reptiles are cold-blooded.
Yeah, they don't care.
It ain't about them caring. They are cold-blooded.
But what? Isn't that a gluttony or something?
What do you mean gluttony? It's a snake, man. It's going to eat. It's an eating machine. It's like a shark. You know, it eats, and it blows up because it ate too much of a... The python tried to eat an alligator, and that's what you're dealing with. You're just dealing with an animal that acts on instinct. It's like a biocomputer. It's becoming more and more of a problem, perhaps no fault of the animal, more a fault of the human, according to Jorge Pino, a state wildlife commission spokesman. What do you mean no fault of the animal? The animal is an animal. Animal's going to do what it does, you know. The people that buy these things, then they let them loose in the Everglades. And why is it always Florida? I've got answers to that. You know why Florida seems to always have so many screwy things happening down there? It's a very simple reason. Florida is the last bastion of... It's the last bastion of real freedom in the minds of a lot of people in this country, because there's no state income tax, so you hold on to more of your income, right? And because there's no state income tax and everything is so localized in Florida, when I went down to Miami, I couldn't believe that really the city of Miami at that time, and I'm sure it's changed, I know that the police authority in Miami is now called Miami-Dade, so that the Miami police share jurisdictional authority countywide. Perhaps with other police authorities, I'm not exactly sure how it works. But the city of Miami is really relatively small and has relatively few people in it. But Miami and then all these other little towns around there, like North Bay, and they got, all these towns that are just collected together. They have all these minuscule little jurisdictions. They've got a ton of counties. I mean, California is what, maybe at least twice as big as the state of Florida. And we probably got half the number of counties. Florida's got 158 billion counties. They got a little sheriff here, and a little sheriff over here, and a little guy here, a little guy there. And everybody had a little jurisdictional thing going on, because that's the way they like it, man. They want it local, and they want it tight, and they want it sweet, and there ain't no state income tax, and kiss my ass, and all of that, right? So you go down to Florida, and it's sunny, and there's the beach, and they've got, you can do anything you want. You could do anything, every loser in the world. Not to denigrate the people of Florida, but they just, you know, they have to put up with every loser in the world going down there and trying to make a run at it again, trying to, you know, start their lives over. It's either Florida or Vegas. Start their lives over again, and a lot of them are screwy, man. Start their lives over again. They got to go down there and end their lives before their python gets out of its cage, if you'll pardon the expression.
Great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, so anyway, that's the story there. Now, there was one other story that happened here in the state of California that I think needs mentioning, and that was a teen. Did you hear about this? Some kid tried to pull off some Columbine-style attack. That's what they're calling it. That's what the press is calling it. A teen armed with a sword and a chainsaw who had several pipe bombs strapped to his body was arrested Monday after two explosions rocked Hillsdale High School in San Mateo, California. Two explosions. Two bombs went off. Police called the foiled attack that forced the evacuation of 1,200 students and teachers a, quote, Columbine-style plot, meaning the kid wanted to launch a terrorist attack, which is what really essentially Columbine was supposed to be. It's a terrorist attack not by Al-Qaeda, a terrorist attack not by a foreign power. It is a domestic terrorist attack, but not by a political entity. It is a domestic terrorist attack by a disenfranchised youth, a certain small psychotic or psychopathic segment of our juvenile population. Is that heavy or what? Man, that's one for Dr. Stone. I think we got him coming up on Friday, right?
Yeah, Dr. Stone's going to be on Friday, but he may not want to talk about that. There's a couple other things.
Well, maybe he will want to talk about it if I want him to talk about it.
He's got his own agenda.
Yeah, you got his own agenda of the thing that he want to say.
Well, guess what? I got my own agenda, and I'm the host of the show.
He may not want to come on then, because you're going to tell him what to say, and he may find it boring.
Listen, bud, you do what I tell you to do, not what Dr. Stone tells you to do, as much as I like him.
Okay, but I'm going to have to tell him that.
You ain't telling him nothing. You ain't telling him... Will you shut up for a minute? Anyway, San Mateo Police Chief Susan Mannheimer told KTVU Television in San Francisco that the 17-year-old boy came onto campus with a chainsaw, a 2-foot-long sword, and 10 homemade pipe bombs attached to a tactical vest he was wearing. He detonated 2 of the pipe bombs in an empty hallway near the library, and the smoke activated a fire alarm. Authorities fielded several calls from Hillsdale High School beginning at 8:07 in the morning. about a gunman on the grounds, the station said. Shortly thereafter, reports came of an explosion inside the school. Two teachers heard the explosion, ran into the hallway, and confronted the teen, who then fled, Mannheimer told KTVU. A third teacher caught up with the boy and tackled him, according to police. Another arrived a minute later with school principal Jeff Gilbert to help hold the suspect down. They called police, and the police came, and according to police officers, the actions by Gilbert and the teachers simply heroic, according to the TV station. All the while, the teachers and principal are confronting this kid, holding him down and tackling him. He's got 8 live pipe bombs attached to his person. No one was hurt in the explosion. No gun was found. No gun was found. No gun was found. You know that the Columbine was not supposed to be an attack that was primarily going to be executed or was going to be effected using firearms. Columbine was supposed to be a bombing. That's what Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold wanted to do. That's what this kid wanted to do. And when those poor people stand up anywhere in this country, when they talk about teen violence or school shootings, they say that it is gun control that's the answer. Oh, my God. Thank goodness we're moving past those conversations. Let's get to what's really going on. We got some screwy kids out there, and we got to find them, identify them, and give them a lobotomy. I'm kidding. I don't know what, but we'll figure a way. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com. I didn't even mention Twitter all night, twitter.com/realphilhenry, although I haven't been to Twitter lately because it bores the living hell out of me. facebook.com/philhenry. It really does.
It does?
Yeah, Twitter is just dull, man. However, Bobby Dooley has a Twitter page, too. Bobby Dooley whatever the hell. Twitter.com/Bobby Dooley. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to in a world-famous Phil Henry show right after this.
Good show, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
Phil Henry.
Just calling Gump.
And now on the Phil Henry Show, the stories we could not get to tonight on this Tuesday night. Well, now Wednesday morning. Is the garbage out, bud?
What?
Get the trash out, the studio trash out to the street because I think they picked the trash.
Oh, yeah.
Get it out there. In East Hartford, Connecticut, a burglary suspect wearing only a Speedo-style swimsuit has been arrested in Connecticut after a police dog tracked him down and bit him on the leg. Police say they spotted the suspect in East Hartford on Thursday wearing the bathing suit and holding a toolbox that had been stolen from a truck. They say he tried to steal several vehicles and also took items from them. Police say he tried to run from them, but a police dog found him hiding behind a car. The Journal Enquirer of Manchester reported that he was being held after his arrest on $50,000 bail. He was scheduled for arraignment Friday, but the result of that hearing was not immediately available. The Speedo thief, huh? In Mount Carmel, Tennessee, police in Northeast Tennessee say Scott Gibson isn't the deputy director of the CIA, and he'll have to pay his $75 speeding fine even if he were. On June 29th, the Mount Carmel speed cabber clocked the 56-year-old Rogersville resident going 66 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. He was sent a ticket. Assistant Police Chief Mike Campbell says Gibson mailed back a copy of the citation with a handwritten note claiming he wasn't subject to local speed zones because he was the deputy chief of the CIA. The federal agency told police Gibson never had been an employee. Gibson was arrested for criminal impersonation. What a dumbass. Here's another guy. Criminal impersonation and released on $500 bond. Campbell says federal charges are also pending. A telephone listing for Gibson did not take incoming calls. Maybe he does work for the CIA, and the CIA said that he didn't work for them. And maybe he's down there. See, there's, you know.
You think so?
No, I don't know. In Cairns, Australia, a man who used a public toilet in a shopping mall was taken to a hospital to have the toilet seat removed from his ass after someone smeared it with glue in what an official condemned Monday as a sick joke. Police urged possible witnesses to come forward after the 58-year-old man was humiliated in the northeastern city of Cairns by the prank. An ambulance was called to help the man after he was found stuck by fast-acting adhesive glue to a toilet seat on Saturday in the busy shopping mall. Paramedics removed the seat from the toilet and took him to the hospital, where medical staff used industrial solvents to get it off.
Cairns local government official Di Forsyth said the man, who was not identified, was not injured, but was extremely embarrassed by his experience. I'm disgusted that a gentleman has had to go through that because someone thinks it's funny, Forsyth said. It's a sick joke. That's a drag, man, seriously. I wouldn't know, but... In Clearwater, Florida, authorities say a Largo man was arrested after being accused of leaving two small children in his vehicle while he was in a Clearwater strip club. The Pinellas County Sheriff... Yeah, I know. What? He's not smart enough to know you're not supposed to do that. Oh, the poor guy. Anyway, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office reports that 33-year-old Kenneth J. Summers left a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old in a car late Sunday night. The report says Summers was in the club drinking at the bar for 30 to 60 minutes. The nature of the relationship between Summers and the children was not released. He was arrested on 2 felony counts of child neglect and is being held at the Pinellas County Jail on a $10,000 bond. And finally, in Allentown, New Hampshire, police said a man upset his street was blocked off for an Old Home Day parade, drove through a barricade, and hit a police officer with his car. Police said 77-year-old Paul Boucher was charged with felony reckless conduct and felony second-degree assault because he wanted to mess up the Old Home Day parade. Maybe you were you didn't know this, Paul, but you were probably the Grand Marshal. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. And until tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, or tonight, good day from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.